you're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening, and a warm welcome to the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine podcast. It's week 10, everybody. I can't believe that. 10 weeks we've been doing this now, and it gets better and better every single week, in my opinion, and I hope you guys feel the same way. I'm your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show once again. I hope everyone is well and staying safe. I can see plenty of messages in the chat already. Everyone is leaving us a message. Good evening to Josh and Sarah, Stuart, JLR20, Matthew Hilton. I hope you're all right. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges, and content which can be found over this period. Coming up tonight is we've got two interviews, one from current player Dan Creaney and another from Lambs legend David Foy. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you are active on the chat, and if appropriate, we'll give you a shout out. Before we continue with tonight's show, I'm just going to go through the different things which Lambs Media are currently doing and will continue to do over the next few months during the lockdown period, which you can get involved with. I'll also post the appropriate links you need to get access to these. For example, the quiz. We had over 50 people get involved in last week's quiz, which was really great. I've already posted the link to that. To this week's, we've got some people getting 10 out of 10 already, which is great. Throughout the month, also, we will be posting a TikTok a day. Bit of a mouthful, that one. A goal from last season onto our new TikTok page every single day throughout the month. So be sure to like us on TikTok and give us some support on there. So plenty to be getting on with. Keeping an eye on our Twitter and Facebook chats and etc. for any announcements, and you can catch up on any previous episodes that you might have missed out on through Spotify, Podbean or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. Our first interview this evening comes from one of last season's strikers, Dan Creaney. He caught up with Stuart Jones this week about his career so far, and an interesting question about the top 11 players he has played with.
So I'm joined with Dan Creaney. Hiya, Dan. How you doing?
Hiya. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. And thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today.
No problem.
Cool. So I hope you and your family are safe and well at the moment. How have you been coping during the lockdown period?
To be honest, I've been coping really well. Enjoyed the break a lot. And as far as everything goes, you know, kept in some good shape and mental health's all good. Enjoying the nice weather as well. So, obviously, I was injured a little bit towards the end of the season as well. So that's allowed me a little bit of time to recover and not struggle trying to get fit and everything else. So I've been doing not much exercise and recovering well. So it's really good.
Nah, spot on. I think from what I've heard, a lot of players, if nothing else, have been able to maintain, you know, decent levels of fitness over this period. It's not all been doom and gloom, as it has.
Yeah, exactly. It's everyone's, you know, you get your. I actually enjoy the weather, to be fair, and going on walks and probably the stuff that I don't normally do. So it's finding ways to cope without football, I suppose.
Yeah, most definitely. Keeping active and keeping positive, isn't it? Like you say.
Always easy, because obviously my life's been pretty much football for every week, like watching games and training and everything else. And it's, I feel like I'm a retired 50-year-old bloke, and I probably sound like one too.
Yeah, I think it does feel a little bit like, doesn't it? It's almost like when you know, first couple of months, you're thinking it does feel. I think for everyone, doesn't it? Supporters and players and that. When will it ever come back? But that leads me on to more to my next point. So it seems that provisions are starting to be put into place for the 2020-21 season. And I think there's even been rumours that the season may even start in September. What plans do you have for the new campaign?
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because as far as planning is concerned, there's not a lot you can use to plan. And obviously from the club's point of view, without a start date, there's not really a lot they can do. So ideally, you know, whenever it starts away, I'll carry on the way I did before and continue with Tamworth and try and get over the 20 goals a season target that I set myself last year, which was unfortunate that I couldn't do it this season with the games missing and having a few little injuries here and there. But the thing that got me the most about that as well was that Beswick gets to take all the penalties, so that's maybe something that I'm going to try and plan to take off him if I can.
Yeah. I think there's a few trying to do. I think Fordy said a similar thing the other week in an interview as well. So, but as you say, I think you finished on 16, didn't you? 16 goals, and you know, had the season had gone to its conclusion, we had nine games, cup games as well. I'm sure you'd have been there. You'd have been
That's
on court,
saying, 20, you, wouldn't you? You had 10 penalties to that. 26, and you finish the season off, that's 30, so it would looked a lot better, but there's only so much you can do. But I've enjoyed my season and everything, and I look forward to, you know, trying to create something similar, albeit next season, whenever that may be.
No, good to hear. So you began your career with Atherstone Town. How did your journey begin, and who have you played for prior to joining Tamworth?
Well, my journey began just through playing for local sides as a kid. My dad run my team, and it got to sort of like your age where, you know, he steps aside and went to play for the Neaton youth team with the vision to play for the first team there. But being a young lad with little experience, and probably considering now like how what size I am, a big lad, I was very small back then, probably like a late developer. So I went to play for Atherstone, and actually the whole youth team from the Neaton went to play for Atherstone reserve team instead of like an under-23. And that whole season our youth team played for the reserves, but the next season after that, that whole reserve team became the first team, because in training, we was basically being the first team every game. We had like 5 or 6 nil, which was a bit weird because it doesn't really happen at clubs. But the second year, we all got our chance to play for the first team, and we had a really good time there. Like, just with it being less professional, it was you could enjoy it a bit more. And we went on a run, FA Cup, and, you know, got a bit of highlights for that, which then led me to go and play for Bedworth, which, again, another fairly local side to Tamworth, close to where I live. And I stayed there for a couple of years. And at this period of time, by the way, I was either a centre-back or a centre-midfielder. And at Bedworth is where, I think in my first two seasons at Bedworth, I scored like 15 goals from like midfield, defensive midfield, which then led the manager, Stuart Storer, and it was his idea to put me as a forward. I'm still trying to work out if it's a good idea or not, but it don't seem to be working out too badly at the minute.
No, absolutely.
And then my last season there, you know, I did really well with just over 25 goals. And then I got asked to go play for Colville and on Sunday, and I was there on the Tuesday playing a game for them. So I managed to do well there. In my first season, had a bad injury, kept me out for 6 months, which wasn't a very good time. And went on loan out to Stratford, even though I was injured, because I knew a guy there, Steve Walker, who was helped me out with me, similar injury before. Within 2 or 3 weeks, he sort of managed to get me on the field and play, which I was not expecting. And then from there, obviously, things started to look better. And I got an opportunity then, as I proved myself then, against the likes of like playing with Michael Taylor up front and showing that I was a sort of similar quality, that obviously then Tamworth opportunity came along, which is where I'm at today.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, you touched on the loan spell in the second half of the 2018-19 season at Stratford, managed by Thomas Bailey. Was he instrumental in you moving to Tamworth?
To be honest with you, yeah, is the only reason why I went to Tamworth. Not because we're best mates or anything like that, and I do get along well with him, though. It's more, to be fair, aside from that, I remember going to Tamworth on the first day I signed, and I remember having a chat with Andrew, and I sort of got the impression he didn't know who I was, never heard of me, and didn't know what to expect, as in didn't think I'd be much of a player and might last a couple of weeks. But no, Tom backed me, having seen what I can do at Stratford, and I had a couple of different options, but obviously Tamworth, with the whole history and what they've got there in terms of the setup, it was something head and shoulders above what I had offered elsewhere.
Yeah, of course, yeah. No, that's interesting to know and good to know. So, as we've touched on as well, you finished as the club's second highest goal scorer last season on 16 goals in all competitions. How do you feel last season went for you on a personal point of view?
I feel it was a very good season, although 16 is not a number that I'm comfortable with. Kind of find a bit of average, but I started off really well, and then my friend decided to have a stag do in September, mid-season, just as I was doing really well. And then from that, I managed to sit on the bench for a few games, for I think like a whole month afterwards, which put the wind in my sails a bit, because obviously you want your match fitness and your momentum, and it keeps you going. So that put a bit of a stumbling block in the way. But then I picked it back up, and I've got to say, finish off strongly, although towards the last couple of games of the season, I was watching from the stands, and I'd be honest with you, I don't feel like I'd have played another part in it with the injury that I had. So I'm looking at it as in I could have got 20 plus, so I'd have liked it to have been a bit better, but I'm pleased with how like I've settled in and confirmed myself as like a valuable and effective player within this current side, which surely should have been promoted into the Conference North.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that point, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you see, the likes of like Coventry City getting promoted on a points per game basis, and it's just, and obviously League Two as well, and it's just in the years of like National League One and Step Two, I think they're deciding that now, I'm not too sure, but in my eyes it should be a fair outcome for everybody, treated the same every league, and we should have been promoted. However, I'm just grateful to, you know, still be fit and healthy, and, you know, not have too many problems. And like you say, I'm pretty sure we're more than capable regarding next season of achieving this similar sort of position in the league.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like you say, it's, Andy Danishman was on interviewed a couple of, I think last week or the week before, and he said exactly, I think, what everybody else was feeling. How can they make a decision like that in the Football League, in League One and Two, that can't, you know, surely if it's one rule for one league, it should be across the board, shouldn't it, in the English divisions?
Well, precisely. Like, it'd have made no difference had they done it at our level. Obviously, the whole league system was cancelled, but so obviously no clubs had to pay out any more money, and it was just a case of keeping the system the same. It'd be interesting to see how they fill the positions off the back of the League One, League Two, and Step One and Step Two. But it's just kind of a bit of a knockback. But it's nothing that I haven't had anyone in that side or the club hasn't dealt with before, like knockback. So just keep trying to move forward, and I'll enjoy trying to do the same thing again, hopefully, if I get the chance to.
Yeah. No, well, I think when it does all come around again, the lads are going to be hungrier than ever, aren't they, to finish what we, you know, three quarters of the way started, so to speak. We, you know, we were in a very good position to, as you say, to get promoted, and that will be, I think that's what will spur a lot of the guys on when the time is right.
Oh, yeah, it's sort of trying to reclaim something that was sort of taken away from you. Although it's going to be, I'd say it'll be a lot harder next year, being the side that everybody wants to play the best game against. Because I think last season, obviously, when I played elsewhere before Colville and Stratford, Tamworth, I think, finished the season maybe 10th or mid-table.
I think it was about 12th, and that was purely, I think, down to the revival when Gary and Andy came into the club, because we were in a bad way before they came in, that's for sure. But
I think we kind of managed to sneak up part of the table, and it wasn't entirely expected. But the start of next season will be difficult, just purely because of that fact that I think it's a bit of a game raiser for a lot of people. But hopefully, maybe we can add a few more to the side.
Current crop, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully not too many forwards, though, because that's not very good for my position.
Yeah, from a personal point of view. No, I think, like you say, a lot of these other teams, it will be second chance for them, won't it? Almost, it'll be a, you know, if they got things wrong slightly last in the last campaign, they'll look to put that right this time around. So you'd expect it to be a bit trickier this year, perhaps, than what it was last year. But time will tell. On a lighter note, what was your highlight of the 2019-20 season?
The highlight, I'd say, has to be the one that springs to mind, as soon as you answer the question, is the Hereford game away.
Yeah.
And it's a really good memory, obviously, winning there and then celebrating afterwards. It's quite a funny one as well, as I remember Henry Wilder celebrating.
Yeah,
On the fourth penalty.
Yeah, that was the. I think that's what I did him to the supporters. So I'm obviously in the crowd at that point. I'm sort of seeing him run away, and I'm thinking no one else is running with him. And in my own head, I knew we hadn't actually quite done it at that stage. We were close, weren't we? But we hadn't actually, you know, mathematically beat them on penalties at that point. You sort of seen him run away, slide in front of all the supporters.
Yeah, it was quite obviously an elaborate celebration as well.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that won't leave him, because everyone remembers it, and it's something that doesn't surprise me based on how he is, because he can be a bit, I don't want to be too harsh on him here, but dopey.
There, well, fair enough. But no, I think like I say, that was that particular game was probably the one that stands out for most people. I think a lot of the supporters, supporters would agree, and a couple of the lads that were interviewed have said the same as well. I think it was a just a brilliant night, wouldn't it? Playing against a team in a higher division.
A lot of, obviously, a lot of fans there, and a good away following from Tamworth fans, which added to it. And obviously, the stadium that the Hereford have is unreal for the sort of what we play again week in, week out. So
yeah,
it was a nice occasion.
No, most definitely one that will live on the memory for most people. So we touched on this prior to going on air, but. I asked if you can pick an 11-a-side team of players that you've played with during your career, but you can include yourself as one of the players.
Okay, well, I'll start it off then, because obviously we've spoken about this before, so I've had a little bit of a few hours to think about it over the last day or so. And obviously in my situation where I've always came up through the leagues, or came up probably three, maybe four steps of sort of English football non-league. Yeah. So I'm not fortunate to have like played with loads of league players and ex-professionals as such, because they don't find themselves, they're normally retired before they get there. But I'll start off Jaz Singh for the goalkeeper, purely because not just because of the level we're at, his ability on the ball and distribution. So that's that one, goalkeeper. Right back, we'll go with Cleveland Taylor. I played with him at Colville. Ex-pro, I think he played for like
Scunthorpe. I was going to say he's an ex-pro player, isn't
it? Yeah, Scunthorpe, stuff like that. But it's not for him. That was, he was very influential in terms of kicking me on, trying to get into my head about taking it more seriously and making sure I've done the right things, and you know, sort of a good mentor really as well.
Yeah.
Centre back, we'll go with Mark O'Brighton. I think he's still playing at Bedworth. I played with him there.
Yeah, I was going to say, for people who don't know, not the one at Leicester, but Bedworth for a long time.
He still plays at Bedworth, and I think he's like 42 years old, which is ridiculous. Because when I'm 42, I definitely won't be playing football. But I think he's been around, sort of touching league football and not big non-league play. I think he played for like Doncaster. He's really good lad. Like, enjoyed like a bit, a few beers with him after the game and stuff. So I'll add him in there. We'll go over to left back. We'll go with a lad called Luke Rowe. Also played with Bedworth. And he could play everywhere. He's played, when I played there, centre mid, left back, left wing. Somebody that stayed at the club, that club, despite being able to go and play higher up, I think purely because of ease and family life. Like, it's been a New Zealand international, and technically probably still one of the best players I've played with.
I was going to say, I know that the season, the 18-19 season, Bedworth obviously finished bottom of the table, didn't they? But I remember he scored a goal against Tamworth in the fixture at our place towards the end of the season. He did look a very good player, to be fair. I'm surprised that he did stay, but like you say, if it suits him to be at Bedworth, and it's convenient for his lifestyle.
I think for him it was a lifestyle thing, because easily he could have played a couple of leagues higher, and he has done before, like New Zealand international. I think he's been to like some youth World Cups or things like that, so shows you that he's a decent sort of player. Also, I'll add in a lad that maybe didn't show his best at Tamworth, and I put him in at like a right centre back, Chris Cox. And I feel like he could have done a bit better at Tamworth, but when I was at Stratford with him, he was absolutely unbelievable, up and down, could cross the ball, he could do everything. But it was just obviously unfortunate for him that things didn't go for him that well at Tamworth. And I think he went travelling or something like that, so that ended his...
He's all still there,
but...
I think he was. Reading up on him when he signed for Tamworth. I'm sure he'd had a spell at a league club trialing just prior to coming to Tamworth. So, like you say, he obviously had something about him.
Stratford, obviously, when we got that time period that I was there, we got into the playoff final. I think somebody picked him up from there. I think it was someone like Carlisle or team like that. And you know, he was on the brink of at that point playing professional football. So. It just shows you that obviously a lot of people think a lot of him. So,
yeah.
And then, I'll move on now. I've gone to midfield. Another player that's at the similar level now, same level. You might know him, you might have seen him playing, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure a lot of the lads that play in my team will know him. Tom McGlinchey, right footed, plays left wing. And if you're playing, if you're right back, you'd have felt your ankles because he can chop players up both ways and really tricky player. So,
yeah, he's at Colville, isn't he? That's right.
Yeah, I play with him there, and he's a very good player, similar like myself. He's come up through the levels. And he, yeah, if he could add more goals to his game, then I'm sure he'll be flying higher up. I think he got trials for some lower level league side. So, the other side, right wing, we'll go with the lad Wilson Carvalho. And I've put him in the side because I play with him at Stratford. I put him in because he's another tricky winger, and he's got speed, and he's obviously playing now at Accrington Stanley.
Yeah.
So he's in there.
I thought you might say him, to be fair, because I think, like I say, he, on the back of the season with Stratford, they picked up by Accrington, he must have been doing something right, mustn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, he had, like, was a part of me recovering my sort of career, if I can call it that. So centre midfield, we'll go with first one, Albi Skendi. Stratford, 6'3", powerhouse, like a white Yaya Toure, if you like. Not that I'm being racist or anything.
No, he's at Yeovil, isn't he now? I think.
I think he played. I think he's playing centre back there. But what a player he was! Powerful. And he was just everywhere. So he's in there.
Yeah.
Alongside him, we'll have a left footer, and we'll go with, although I don't want to say it, Ryan Beswick. Just purely because of being a good like leader and captain for a club, and obviously contributing not only through that, but with this big moments of like free kicks and key penalties. So I'll add him there. And the last one midfielder would be Steve Towers. He's sort of non-league veteran, if you like. At Colville, centre midfield.
The one at Colville,
And he sort of goes under the radar. But having played at Colville, I know that if you took him out of that side, they'd be in the bottom half, despite whatever players they have. That I would like to think that without him, they'd be in the bottom half because of his what he means to that club, and obviously being a leader and everything else, and a captain. So he's in there. So we'll move on now. Up front, I've got Nat Watson. When I'm playing with him at Colville, had my best season. I think we scored something like 63 goals between us, 31 and 32 each. And yeah, I think he's playing, I think he moved to like Baysford or something like that. But yeah, he's massive because obviously he's probably my... has been my best partner to date, really, that season. Then, for that reason, for the season I played with him, because we scored 63, I'm going to put myself in there as well.
Yeah, bring back the old partnership.
Yeah, so I've added myself in there. Really, I did run out of ones to put, and I probably could have put one or two others, but it's my best 11, and... If I didn't put myself in there, I wouldn't be backing myself. So I'm sitting there in the number 9. So yeah, that's the end of my...
No, lovely. Yeah.
Best 11 I've played with.
Very informative and gives us an idea, doesn't it? So, and finally, is there a message you would like to pass on to the supporters?
Yeah, really, it would be like a thanks, really. Because I think despite being based... in the Neaton, the rival town, and I've heard a few comments in the bar after the game, but they took to me really well despite that. Obviously, I've probably be showing that I've got good work rate, and I wanted to be there, and I put the shifts in, And, you know, just want to say thanks for that. And obviously the little song that they sing. So it's always a nice little bonus to turn up on your Saturdays to work, getting appreciated. So, yeah, I'd just like to say thanks for that. And whatever happens towards the new season, whatever it starts again, I hope to see them all again back in force.
Yeah, no, I think likewise. I think like you say, you can't can never question your commitment in the games, and like you say, when you've got your own song, you know you're in a good place with the supporters. So.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed it. To be fair, probably the most enjoyable season, and it's probably reflected with how the management have been making it enjoyable and making everyone work hard, and obviously the success has come from it. Obviously, the enjoyable thing is obviously the success, which obviously has been worked hard on. So, yeah, I look forward to hopefully having the chance to do it again come next season.
Yeah, no, hopefully. But, well, all that leaves me to say is thanks very much, Dan, for your time, and really appreciate your input.
No worries. Hopefully it wasn't too boring. I'm not the most exciting character in the world, to be honest with you, but I'll give it my best shot, and I hope you enjoy it for what it's worth.
No, absolutely spot on, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Dan Creaney there, giving us his very detailed top 11. Found it very interesting to listen to. To finish off this evening then, we'll be continuing on with our Tamworth FC Legends series. We've heard from a number of ex-Tamworth FC players over the last few months, and this evening Kev Clark caught up with former midfielder Davey Foy, who played from 1994 to 2002.
Hi Dave, thanks for joining me.
Hi Kev, hi Harry, thank you very much for having me.
Now, how have you coped with the impact of the virus over the last few months, and how has it affected you personally?
Obviously it's an unprecedented situation, COVID-19, it's a situation that none of us have ever experienced before. It's very strange, very worrying for a lot of people. But for myself personally, I've been on furlough from work for 9 weeks in total. It was. I'm now back at work. But for me, it was a godsend, really, in one way, because obviously having lost my wife Hayley in October last year. I went back to work on December the 2nd in a phased return, which pleased obviously a lot of my family and friends who were concerned about me, but were happy that now I was back at work, I had a structure. But the thing with that is obviously you go back to work, then I had Christmas, which was obviously a very hard time for myself and the family, very emotional. But when you're back at work, it's busy, busy, busy. And any sort of grieving that I needed to do, you find it hard. The biggest challenge each day was to get out of bed and actually get to work. So when this COVID situation come along and I was put on furlough, it allowed myself and my two children that time to properly grieve and not have to worry about having to get up in the morning, you know. So, you know, we were lucky with the weather spell that we've had, which was fantastic. Brilliant sunshine every day, and that just helped lift the mood and our spirits. And so it's been a godsend to me personally.
You know, I'm sure everybody listening into this podcast this evening will send their condolences and good wishes, Dave. Well, it's an awful thing that you've been through with losing Hayley, as you've explained. But really good to hear that you seem to have come out the other side of those dark days, and you know, you've found some some normality again, I guess, and a renewed purpose.
Yeah, it's to be honest, I'd never really sort of suffered with anxiety or anything like that. But as anybody will know, that's lost a loved one, family member, someone very close to them, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So before the lockdown, if you'd have probably asked me to do this podcast then, it would have been something that I'd have been very fearful of and probably not accepted.
Yeah.
But like I say, being on the lockdown, having that a little bit of solitude and properly grieving, it's really helped.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, you started your career at Blues. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this.
Started at
Blues, went on to Scunthorpe, and you made league appearances for both. At the time, did you feel that you had what it took to play in the Football League?
If I'm honest, at that time, probably not. I probably didn't have enough experience, probably didn't have enough self-belief. I think I had the technical attributes and the skills that were needed, but hadn't really had enough football experience to hold a permanent place down, in the Football League. I think it was four or five appearances I had for the Blues first team. It was a bit of a whirlwind, it was an adrenaline experience, playing in front of big crowds for the first time. But it was just 100 mile an hour. I was just running around like a lunatic, really, rather than having a structure within my game. And I think that's probably what I needed. But back then, clubs didn't tend to send young players out on loan to non-league clubs. And if they did, and you were a player that was at a professional club, you were very wary of that because you thought you were probably being pushed out the door, or you thought if you drop to that level, there's no coming back. So I had four or five first team appearances for Birmingham. The club was sold, basically. It was David Gould and Karen Brady came in to the dressing room when we were playing Oxford, and basically said that they would be the new owners of the club. There would be an injection of money to buy new players. And having experienced those four or five games, playing in front of a big crowd and loving every minute of it, I wanted more of that. And the manager at the time, Terry Cooper, offered me a new contract, but obviously said that I'd be playing reserve team football for the next season. And the old youth coach at Aston Villa, Richard Money, he'd just been given his first job at Scunthorpe United. So he got in touch and asked if I wanted to be part of that up at Scunthorpe. I've always just wanted to play. So the prospect of reserve team football versus a new challenge at Scunthorpe, I went for that. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out at Scunthorpe, for one reason or another. And then after that, I went on various trials with Hereford, Coventry City, Doncaster, and then ended up signing for Stafford Rangers under Brendan Phillips. But looking back, probably should have maybe stayed at Birmingham. Got a bit more experience, obviously, playing a big club like that. But, I suppose everything's easy with hindsight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, eventually, Dave, you found yourself signing for Tamworth. I think you'd been on loan at Tamworth and just maybe one appearance and you eventually came back the season after and signed for a four-figure fee from Stafford Rangers. Yeah. You went on to play 373 times for Tamworth, scoring 33 times. And there must have been some massive highs in that time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, an amazing ratio there of one goal every 11 games.
I wasn't going to highlight that, but now you mention it. It is quite on the low side, actually, for the position that you played.
Well, I listened to John Howard's podcast, and I think he played 295 games and scored 50-odd goals. So I'm thinking, how did that happen? No disrespect, John. But that's one thing I think, I could have improved on was the amount of goals I scored. But I'll tell you the reasons for that a little bit later on.
Okay. So the real highs in that time, what really stood out? For me, it would have to be Scarborough.
In the FA Cup. It's funny, we were just talking about my lack of goals. I think in an interview just before that game, someone pointed out that I hadn't scored in 16 months. So going into that game, I said, well, if one comes off my backside, I'll be happy with that. The goal I scored there was a little bit better than that. My memories surrounding that game, we travelled up on the Friday. We stayed overnight. Pulled letters out for all the players out for a couple of hours, just for a walk round. And I think we ended up having a couple of beers in a pub, only a couple. And some of the Scarborough fans were, because we had the tracksuits on and stuff like that. I mean, you wouldn't get away with something like that these days, but they were asking who are Tamworth? Where are you from? We've never heard of you. And then obviously, the following day, it was a very close game. They were a good side, but luckily we got, I think it was Mickey Cotter. They conceded a free kick to Mickey Cotter on the edge of the box. And I think me and Mark Allen were arguing over who was going to take it. But I think I'd been always practiced my free kicks, and I just had this feeling that this was I was going to take this one, and just bent it over the wall, it was a great feeling, and especially to end that 16-month goal drought. Good special memories, brilliant atmosphere that day. We took a lot of fans up, and it was actually, I think it was my birthday weekend. We celebrated that night. I never forget that game. The manager was Colin Addison, I think. The old, he'd been at Atletico Madrid under Ron Atkinson. So, yeah, there were no mugs. It was the old McCain Stadium, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think how many leagues Scarborough were actually above us at that time. Was it two?
I think it was, yeah.
And either way, to go there away to the seaside and to get a result, and what a pearler of a free kick as well, and something that many of the fans that were fans at the time, they just won't forget a moment like that. It was just absolutely delirium.
You tend to find in FA Cup games that you don't really... You haven't got really much of a chance if you're playing away, at their ground, with their home crowd, and obviously, they're professionals, they're training day in, day out. That was a good scout for sure.
Now, being at one club for 8 seasons is actually quite rare for players at any level, really. But why do you think... David Foy and Tamworth FC was such a good fit?
I think you alluded to earlier that I briefly joined or had a game for Tamworth, and that was when I was at Stafford Rangers under Brendan Phillips, and I'd had a medial ligament injury, and I was just obviously coming back from that injury. And Brendan suggested that I went out and had a couple of games on loan just to get my fitness back. And Tamworth asked if they could use my services. And I met, I think it was Paul Wood was the manager then. I met Paul Wood and Buster Belford at the Novotel in Coventry. And I played, I think, was it just the one game or two games? I can't remember now.
I think it was just the one.
Yeah. And I was just, I loved the atmosphere around the place. The fans were very vocal, but made me feel extremely welcome. Some of the players I played with at the time, Adrian Piggan, Pete Wilkins, Pete McBean. And yeah, you know, we went into the bar after the game, and you know, everybody shook my hand and said, "Oh, well, I played," and it always stuck in my mind. So when I went back to Stafford Rangers, obviously living in Coventry at the time, the travelling was getting to me. It was on a clear run up the M6. It was taking me an hour after work, and sometimes I'd arrive a little bit late for games. And so I wanted to join a club a little bit more local. And that experience at Tamworth had always stuck in my mind. So obviously I signed, and just always felt at home at Tamworth, always enjoyed my football, especially when Paul Hendry and Andy Dwyer arrived. The way that they always liked to play the game was keep the ball on the floor. We had a fantastic camaraderie within the team. On the social side, the wives and girlfriends got on, and why would I go anywhere else?
Yeah, that links in nicely, actually, David, to my next question, because I was going to ask you, having played under, I think it was three managers at Tamworth, Les Green, Paul Hendry, and Gary Mills in the last season or two, and how did their managerial approaches vary?
Well, if I'm being honest, I can't really remember too much about Les Green's sort of managerial style. I think he was more of a go out and play. You know, there weren't too many sort of technical instructions or anything like that. It was just go and play. And I think it was, I'm not sure how long I played under Les. It wasn't for long, I know that. But Paul, when Paul Hendry and Andy Dwyer came in, there was a massive change in the fitness. Paul was always one for having fit players, because the way he wanted to play the game meant that you had to be fit, basically. And in the system we played back then, which was predominantly 4-4-2, but and the attacking style that we played, you had to be fit. So that was one of the biggest sort of notable changes when Paul and Andy come in. Paul was very, he was a very good motivator, very good man manager, and Andy the same. Two great guys, great to get on with, on and off the pitch. They always made an effort to say welcome your wife or girlfriend, and we would have chats in the bar after, and you know, it was just a very good family type atmosphere. Back then, you know, most of the players went into the bar after the game for at least one drink or two, and just to acknowledge the fans, listen to their view on how the game went. So yeah, and Paul always encouraged that. And I don't think you can put a value on that side, that social side, and that camaraderie, that team building sort of philosophy. I don't think you see so much of it today, but not in that form anyway, as in, you know, going into the bar. I mean, I'm sure they do other things to build team spirit and camaraderie, but it was that's just the way it was in those days while I was at Tamworth. Paul always used to emphasise before games that we weren't necessarily worried about the opposition. It was what we were going to do, which I always thought was a very good philosophy. You can spend too much time worrying about the opposition and their tactics and their players. At the end of the day, if you go and do what you're good at, then the best team will win. If they're better than you, they'll beat you. But it's all about self-belief, and Paul always used to instill that in us. In terms of Gary Mills, Darren G, Gary was, I would say, more of a modern manager. His motivational techniques were second to none. He'd obviously studied Brian Clough. His motivational techniques and tricks and psychology, he was excellent at that. And I think that was evident in when he came into Tamworth. We were sort of, you know, down in the relegation zone and looked like we possibly could go down. And he turned it round immediately. And a lot of that was down to psychology, nothing more. The players that we had in that side were all technically gifted and very skillful. I think we just lost our confidence. We couldn't buy a win. And I always think that 10% is ability, 90% is confidence in your head. And it explains why during the good spells, even though you go a goal down, you look around and you think, we'll win this game. We'll win it. It's just an inner belief. But in the reverse, when you're on a bad spell and you can't buy a win, you think that win's never going to come. But most of it's just psychology.
Yeah, very psychological, yeah.
Yeah. I remember we played...
Sorry, mate. Sorry to cut over you.
Okay. We played Rochdale away in the replay of the FA Cup. And I remember sitting in the dressing room and Gary Mills, just before he was about to give his team talk, he said, you know, anybody that wants to go to the toilet, go and get it done, get all your little bits and pieces out the way. Which we did, and when we came back, there was a towel in the middle of the dressing room with a ball in the middle of it, and we all looked at each other and thought, well, what's this all about? And I think it was a psychological tactic where he made us focus or question what this ball was doing on this towel in the middle of the dressing room to take our mind off and the anxiety off the game that we were just about to go into. So
yeah.
So yeah,
that's really interesting. Yeah, just a completely different, contrasting style from different managers there. Yeah. Now, you played, obviously, over the 8 seasons and alongside a number of players at Tamworth. But who would you say that you kind of relied on, really, David, to enable you to play your brand of football?
Well, I played with so many different types of players throughout those 8 years, all great players, but I guess mainly the back four or the full backs, because I used to obviously go and drop deep sometimes and get the ball off the full backs and then try and, you know, and play from there, but with it, like I say, with the systems that we played back then, the 4-4-2. We used to have two in the central midfield, and the tactic was back then, if one of the midfielders went forward, the other one sat, because obviously if you both went forward and it broke down, you know, you'd be on the defensive. So for me to play more football, I had to have a lot of backing from the two centre halves, who were confident in me to go forward in case it broke down. But one of the things with our attacking style back then is we didn't really have, as you would class as a holding midfielder that you would sort of see in today's game. I was always sort of one of those midfielders that was probably classed as a box-to-box midfielder, so I was expected to get back and defend and attack at the same time, which was always, you know, quite difficult. And hence, probably why I only scored 33 goals. By the time I got anywhere near the goal, I was too tired to do anything with it. So I'll just pass it to Mark Allen Warren out and say, go on, then you stick it in the back of the net. But just having that confidence in the players around me that would let me go and express myself.
So, Dave, your time at the Lamb came to an end in 2002. Why did you leave Tamworth and where did your career go afterwards?
Well, one of the main reason for leaving, I'd actually made a decision just after the Christmas of that year that I was going to look to move on. And I thought that the reason for that was that 8 years at a club is obviously a long time. And I wanted to sort of try another experience at another club, just to test myself, really, because you know, with the familiar surroundings of Tamworth and that family sort of atmosphere that we always had there, I thought maybe I was becoming a little bit too complacent. Things were a bit, you know, getting a bit too easy. So I just made the decision that I wanted to test myself somewhere else. And I'd always enjoyed my experiences of playing against Worcester City whenever we played there, because the pitch was always lovely. It was it had the big sort of old-fashioned floodlight stanchions. It sort of had that feel. It was like an old league ground. So the manager there was John Barton. And he'd sort of always been an admirer of myself, and sort of when I sort of let it known that I was potentially looking for another club at the end of the season, then John approached me and asked me if I fancied going there.
And how old were you at the time, David, when you left Tamworth?
29, I think I was. Yeah, about 29, I'm sure it was.
How long did you go on to play after you'd left Tamworth?
Well, unfortunately, we in that season I joined Worcester. We were actually top of the league going into, you know, for the first 5 or 6 weeks, and we had because Worcester City used to play their games on a Monday. For what reason, I can't remember. And we were due to play Tamworth, I think it was September the 9th. And we'd had an away game at Folkestone. And I remember in the game, I'd caught quite a hefty elbow in the ribs. and was substituted in about 70th, 80th minute. Because I just couldn't run, I couldn't breathe. But then, because we had the game against Tamworth on the Monday, obviously my old club, I was determined to play. And in that game, I went in. I remember it had been raining all day, and I went into a tackle with Mark Cooper. And it's usually a tackle that I wouldn't have gone into because I was so. You know, my adrenaline was going and I wanted to, you know, sort of prove a point against my old team, shall we say. I went in a very innocuous way, and unfortunately I ended up doing my cruciate ligament. So I was out for almost 12 months after that, and then had with Elzo in, because Brendan Phillips was the manager there. My old manager. So I went there again to get my fitness. Went back to Worcester and didn't really figure after that. It's strange, you know, when you see another player have an ACL injury and they come back and they look fit and they look sharp, you always think, well, why can't they play like they did before? But it's just that nanosecond of that thought process where the body reacts to what the brain's trying to tell you to do, that you're not the same player you were before. And I moved on from Worcester. I then went to Bedworth. I played under Mark Callum in his first managerial role. Played at Stratford Town after that. Dennis Mulholland was there, which is interesting. Mickey Moore after Dennis. So then after that, work commitments it meant that I couldn't always play on night games or make training, and that just wasn't me. I was, if I'm going to play, I need to be committed and I need to be there all the time. I wasn't one of these that wanted to, you know, think I could turn up for training whenever I wanted and that sort of thing. So had a bit of a break from it then. And basically ended up playing my football for an over 35s team, Monica Star in Birmingham, which was a fantastic experience, and very, very similar to, obviously not in the levels, but you know, the atmosphere and the camaraderie as to what I experienced at Tamworth. Lucky enough to play, we had a great side at the Monica. We had Mark Cooper played with us for a short while, Lee Carsley, Lee Hendry. That was a great experience.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's always interesting to hear these stories, because a lot of the time, you know, players will finish their career at a club and move on, and then you don't really think about it as fans after that. But great to hear those thoughts and stories. Looking back on your career, would you say you have any regrets or things that you would have done differently, really? You alluded to a little bit earlier on, David.
I guess looking back, probably should have stayed at Birmingham and not made the decision to go to Scunthorpe. Got a little bit more coaching experience at a big club like Birmingham. Which may have benefited me, may not have benefited me, because obviously after, I think Terry Cooper went, Barry Fry come in, and that was just a revolving door of players. He went through about 50, 60 players one season. So
yeah, it was an incredible time.
Yeah. Looking back, that might not have been a great decision, but regrets, not really. No, I've enjoyed my football immensely throughout all the years, all the clubs I played at. Probably should have been a little bit selfish, shall we say, in terms of the way I played. I was basically a player that I tried to do everything, you know. I tried to help the defence out and do that side of it, get forward and attack, and at the end of the day you can't do it. But the game's changed now. The midfield roles are different. You've got your sort of your central defensive midfielders, and then you've got your attacking midfielders. So I think it's a little bit more zonal now. You don't have players that are expected to, you know, to go box to box for 90 minutes and sort of do everything like, you know, the Captain Marvel, shall we say. I took as much joy out of creating an assist as I did scoring a goal. I think no regrets, my success. And I think for any parent that's got young boys or girls playing football, I think the secret to success is loving the game, enjoying the game. And I say the fact that I actually sort of finished playing, I know it was over 35s, so sort of, you know, 5 years ago when I was 42, is a success in itself. I think that's how you should judge success, not whether you were lucky enough to make it as a millionaire premier footballer. It's just play to the best of your ability at whatever level that is, and enjoy the game. And like I say, play for as long as you can, because you're a long time not playing the game. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. David, thank you very much for your time, and take care.
Yeah, and you. Cheers, Kev. Thanks, Harry.
Unfortunately, that does bring us to the end of this evening's show then. I do hope that everyone listening has enjoyed the 10th of our weekly podcasts. Let us know who you want to hear from in the coming weeks in the comments section. As always, thank you very much for listening. Coming up on next week's show, Tamworth ladies captain, Erica Turner will be joining us on the show. And hopefully, as football begins to return to the UK starting tomorrow night, we'll have some updates on the leagues across football in the UK. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, stay alert, control the virus, and save lives.